We got you, Barry.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, score. Okay. Do we want to do video or no? I got the graphics to run, or do you want to use video?
Yeah, run the graphics. Yeah, that's fine.
All right, let me go ahead and do that. Pull that up. There we go. All right, it'll relax. It'll be fun, okay? Just chill out. All right, so we have a lot of news that's going on and who may didn't, I don't know and don't care. What we're going to do is go from your perspective as an Irish man went through the process of it sucks and, you know, what's happening. All right, we're starting right now. Here we go.
.com/newsbeat.
This is the Onion News Network. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Claire, your independence, I'm here in Stancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Yeah, Barry didn't know I sang. Oh, it's awesome. You know, well, you know, we're glad you're here. I've been really looking forward to this. Barry's from Ireland. Barry Kerwin, we met him and his bride-to-be, if he's not already married, in Mexico at an Acapulco over the last couple of years. And there was another gentleman, older man, that was with them that came from Ireland also that, you know, has some of the same interest. And they found out, yeah, this anarchist thing. Let's go check that out. Well, they enjoyed themselves enough. They came the second year, this in 19 here in February, and he proposed. And she said, yes, take me to Acapulco and the sunset on the beach and everything. You know, they say yes, especially you get a big ring. So this is awesome news for you guys. I'm glad that, you know, we got some good news around all this. But Brexit. Now, he doesn't claim to be an expert on Brexit and this and ouch, quit it and all that kind of stuff, but he is a studier of the law and the court system, finds out the same thing. We're all ruled by the same we rule you people. And in Ireland, doing a business, having a family business, of you know, doing a little bit of politics, and how all this in the background of the Brexit thing has an impact on Ireland. Now, there's Southern Ireland and Northern Ireland, and that's where we need to start. What the hell? We don't really understand here what's going on. Then we'll get into how Brexit affects that. And you have, well, is Northern part of the European Union or is it Southern? And if one is and one isn't, what happens at the border of the fenced off if we got the Union Jack flying over one of them or something? Well, we need to know. And Barry's going to help us out. Barry Kerwin, welcome to the show, Barry. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for having me.
You know, this is going to be fun. I know a lot of guys, the first time they come on, they're like, I go, God, just relax. You know, he goes, well, I don't know everything about you. You know a hell of a lot more than me. You live in freaking Ireland, okay? So, in Ireland, give me this north-south thing. There is, we could watch a Michael Collins movie with Liam Neeson. We have some people that are, you know, really into the, I remember the IRA was a big thing on television shows, and it was discussed in politics. It was like, you know, the Israelis and the Palestinians. I mean, it was top of mind in the 70s and 80s, and there was, you know, bombs and death and damnation and all kinds of stuff going on. Can you sum it up for us so we know what the heck we're talking about?
Well, do you want to start from the beginning?
Yeah, we got time. We're going to go all day. No, whatever, man. Go.
Okay, well, I suppose where the divide originally came from between the north and south of Ireland would have been around the 1600s, at the time of the plantations, when the English kings and queens decided they'd put we'll say their generals and a lot of their army as rewards were granted lands in Ireland. So they moved with their families and set up, big farms, you could call it. Some of them got grants of tens of thousands of acres of land. And some of them were successful. And the ones in the northern part of Ireland, I suppose, over the long term, were more successful than the ones in the southern part.
And the reason for that is what? Because it had good ports, the land was different, better?
I suppose a bit of everything. Like Belfast would have been a major port in the 1800s, still is. Major ships were built there, like the Titanic was built there.
And now this is the...
that's in the north.
So this is kind of... the north is the one that is more dominated by loyalty to the British Crown. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, it's still part of the UK.
Okay, United Kingdom, which includes Northern Ireland, but does not include Southern Ireland?
No, the six... Like, Ireland has 32 counties, and the six in the north are part of Northern Ireland. And the rest then is Southern Ireland, as in the Republic of Ireland.
Okay, now this is what the Troubles, they called them or something. You know, between North and South, what was the dividing line? Was it a religion thing? Was it a power thing? Was it were they trying to take over all of Ireland and you relegated them to just the North? I mean, tell me what the issues over the last centuries have been.
There's a lot of issues. I suppose you go right back to St. Patrick would have made Ireland a Christian island, would say the whole island. And then you would have had the split with, was it Henry the Eighth, wasn't it? That he set up his own church in opposition to the Pope. That became, the Protestant arm of the Christian faith. And at the minute, I suppose Northern Ireland would, even though it has a lot of Catholics there, would still be regarded as part of the UK, which would be Protestant.
So when did the line, for lack of a better word, modern lines for North and South, the border that you guys are arguing over now on what's going to happen with European Union control, whatever the hell, I'm going, that line... Northern
that
and
line,
South is when?
Yeah, that line, I suppose, happened after the revolution in Ireland from 1916, and I suppose it got settled around 1922, where you had the Irish Free State, and then you had Northern Ireland was still part of the UK.
The idea is that Southern Ireland is its own freaking country. Get your butt out of here. Or is there some tentacles from the British Crown that still controls, has some kind of something in Southern Ireland?
Well, it depends which way you look at it. Ireland, I suppose, after, we'll say, the 1920s, or 1916, we had our proclamation of independence. And then we had the issuance of our constitution, our first constitution would have been 1919. And that was ratified by all 32 counties. So it was some would say that's the only recognizable constitution. Then you had another one later on in the 20s. And then finally, the one that the courts are operating under now is the 1937 constitution, which was 15 years later, we'll say.
Well, who wrote that one? They just came up with it. We didn't like this one. It gave too much autonomy to and power of, and everybody voted and it was all good and we Brexited or whatever back in the day. Probably a good word back then, too. So you go, we Brexited, we're over here and we're Southern, we're done. And they go, we don't like that. And it's a few years later, they do another one. Didn't do enough either. So 15 years after the first one, they do another one. You go, hey, that's not the one we all agreed to. They go, yeah, but that's the one we got a gun supporting. I mean, how far off am I?
You could say that. The one in, we'll say, the 1916 independence, I suppose, would have come about to the 1919 constitution. And that's all about the people and has, some would say more protection for the people.
So they got it a little bit more like a Bill of Rights editions of the Thou Shalt Not to Government or something.
Yeah, to a degree. But I suppose Ireland, because it's a common law jurisdiction as such, would have Magna Carta, and there's actually Magna Carta Hibernia, which would have been the Irish version.
Now, the Magna Carta was, you know, the people go to the king, they said, you know, it's going to be your signature, your brains or blood's going to be on this document. You know, and then we say that we, you know, you're held to the same standard we are. It's not, you know, sovereign immunity, blah, 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 blah. It's all Magna Carta. You go to the archives of the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, National Archives here in Washington, D.C., and there's an original copy or the copy or whatever of the Magna Carta. What the hell is Magna Carta doing in the United States? Because that was the basis of a lot of this concept. Well, Ireland had their own kind of Magna Carta, kiss my butt, which is like a declaration. We'll hear about it with Barry. From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation. A difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Are you a cryptocurrency advocate?
Yeah, pirates. Did you read your pirate book?
I did.
What'd you think?
Good. Some interesting ideas in it.
Pirates. Sure. Pirates are. Yeah, we're doing a bunch of. Yeah, we're having fun with it. But this is the attitude that I'm trying to get to. We have your own Magna Carta. I'd like to hear a little bit more about that document and when that was and how that's respected and what role that plays in culture. But with this European Union thing, I can see it's a vector, it's a mechanism by which it doesn't matter if you got North and South Ireland because you got under European Union Ireland and we rule both of them or something. And I'm wondering how that goes. So was Southern Ireland, you know, in support of Brexit or not?
Well, we didn't have a vote on it, so it doesn't matter. It's a separate country. It's like,
okay, so Southern Ireland is not part of the European Union.
Oh, Southern Ireland is, yes.
Okay, so you're talking but about okay, no, so it's whether
the UK,
Northern.
It was an internal vote in the UK.
Okay, so you're talking about, so if they Brexit, Southern Ireland would still be in the European Union while Northern Ireland would not.
Exactly. Okay. The only way it would affect Ireland really is if they insisted on putting in a hard border, we'll say, with military checkpoints and customs.
Which, of course, that's is what they'll threat.
Yeah, that seems to be kind of the hammer the EU are holding over the UK. And like that's what all the propaganda and that's all the newspapers would be writing about here, really.
Yeah, no, I'm hip. All right, we're coming back. Here we go.
Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence, another Independence Declare kind of individual, Mr. Barry Kerwin, living in Southern Ireland. Okay, so the Brexit, because Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom, that applies to them. So they would, if they Brexit, if they go out of the European Union, which means what, that it keeps changing, who cares? But they go out, well, then Southern Ireland is in the European Union. Is there a hard border between the two? All of a sudden, is it going to be like North and South Korea? You know, is it going to be, you have, you know, these guys and these guys, and you got to go through a checkpoint? It's like East and West Germany. I mean, is it like, you know, a bunch of these kinds of separations of? So that's, of course, is the threat. If you do this, you're not going to be able to blah, 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 blah. So the sentiment in Southern Ireland, are they looking for an exit from the European Union, or are they glad to be part of it?
The people or the politicians?
Well, the people, right? You know, politicians, they're going to do whatever somebody tells them, you know?
Are they?
I don't know. Tell me. You're there.
Is that the way it works in the States?
Hell yeah. Politicians do whatever the hell they are told by somebody that gives them money to be politicians.
All right. Not the people, though.
No, people don't get that. Well, they eventually, the people rise up, and they may get what they want, and then you got to worry about them coming back and doing all over what they're going to do. So, you know, right now, at this moment, the people, the general opinion, sentiment in Southern Ireland is they want to be part of the European Union or not.
I can't really answer that because there'd be very divided views on it. Some people, like Ireland joined the EU in the 70s, before I was born. So, and the promise was that they were going to have this single market where any company in Europe will say, for your insurance, for argument's sake, for your car, that every company in Europe would be able to quote for it, and that would drive the price of insurance down and make it more competitive for everybody. Now, this is what, 40 years later. And insurance in Ireland on a car is probably one of the most expensive places in the world. It's certainly an awful lot more than in Germany or France, where we're supposed to have this equality and equal market. The same thing with interest rates for people's mortgages. It's about 3 times the price here for a mortgage than it is in Germany. Now, the whole point of joining the EU was to have this single market where everybody is competing in one another and makes life better for everybody because you get better products and more innovations.
That's
and all
what
that
they
sort of
always
thing.
Say. It's not that that principle is not true. It's just that's not what really happens. What they do is they'll create a form that only certain, well, yeah, everybody can has the freedom to fill out our form under the criteria of who we say can do it, and it doesn't include you. I mean, you know, it's always the promise. Government always makes these promises, but they don't always deliver, and it's for they, them, those, and their friends, right?
Oh, I agree with you. Like, Ireland has vast fishing resources. Like, our border on the sea going out into the Atlantic goes out for hundreds of miles. But there's hardly as many fishermen in Ireland anymore at all, because most of the big trawler fishes were given permission now from Spain and France and Germany, or not so much Germany, sorry, to come in and fish out most of the waters. And same thing with the oil. Like, Ireland has vast oil and gas reserves off the coast, but the Irish people don't benefit from either. You know, which is, it's not right in one way, and it's a crime that it's been stolen in another. You know, these are supposed to be the people's resources. A few politicians that got backhanders.
Well, you know, so European Union, is it, let's just ask this, has it been of benefit to the future and the freedom of the individuals and your children in Southern Ireland? Or you kind of go, yeah, we'd probably be better off on our own? I mean, what do you think?
Well, in some ways, they've put so much extra, from a small business point of view, they've put a huge amount of extra burden on paperwork and complete nonsense with all these EU regulations. Health and safety would be a huge thing. Now, you could look at that from the other point of view, where the debts on building sites have reduced because of a certain amount of it. but the cost of it has made the cost of living here an awful lot more than it probably should be. Like, Ireland is a huge export of food to the UK. That's like the farmers in Ireland and the food processors and the likes. They would
see
be
when you say Ireland, you're not specifying. You're big.
Sorry,
food.
Republic of Ireland.
So the Republic of Ireland is Southern Ireland. So the North, what is their commercial advantage in the region? I mean, you got to go to Northern Ireland to get bolts to have something built. All the rule is Southern. I mean, why the Northern claim to whatever economic is what? Oil? I mean, what do they do?
In the North? Well, you have Belfast is a big industrial city. Used to be huge shipbuilders, like they built, as I said, the Titanic and other big ships. And they still do to a certain degree.
But what's the largest city in the South?
Dublin.
Okay, which is, what's the population Dublin?
I think it's about 1.2 million, maybe.
Hey, you got a million people size city. You could probably go see whatever movie you want. You know, buy a 2x4, get some hardware.
Until Brexit, maybe, and nothing is imported anymore.
Okay. So the Brexit, in this argument, what happened, and do you pay attention to what happens in Parliament and what's going on with May? Does any of that apply to you care?
Well, we have our own parliament and our own Taoiseach, which would be the equivalent of President Tee. So we have enough nonsense going on there to worry about what they're doing in the UK.
Okay, so the nonsense going on right in front of you. Tell me every little old thing. This is one thing that did get us where we need to go, is you decided to go to Anarchapoco from a young guy in Ireland. Why? What the heck brought that on?
Why not?
Yeah, good answer.
You know. I mean, if you wanted to meet some of the brightest thinkers and minds out there in let's say, the freedom arena, a lot of them were there. You could chat with them. You could talk to any of them.
Well, what has been, you know, I've heard over the last couple of years your story of your the heritage that you've had, the land, because a lot of people in Ireland, I mean, you're on an island, so there's a thick, rich history of, you know, longevity of family lines and businesses and so on that go through, and you had your experience with the court system. You know, your whole thing was, and as you're telling me all these stories, you may call it something else, but I go, hell, that's the same crap they do here. What's the difference? You know? So what is your view? You go to an anarchist event to meet these minds. From what perspective? What happened to you in Ireland that you were even inclined to do that?
I suppose you start to question when you get receive a beating and you're being kicked on the ground when the people supposed to be protecting you are not and are aiding the people kicking you, you start to ask questions like, this is not the way we're told it is, and this is not the way it's supposed to be, and the law says it's not supposed to be like this either. So
join the club. Everybody that's gone through this, they're in this club because they got clubbed a bunch of times by the people who are supposed to be defending you against clubs. Well, then what? I don't know. We're going to talk about it when we come back with Barry.
Did you know you can legally exit the...
Yeah. See, we're having fun. It's already half done. What the hell are you thinking?
Of course I'm having fun.
Okay, now when we come back, I got to run to the bathroom, but when we come back, what we'll go ahead and do is your experiences with the the court system and how you see how they treat the people and their honoring of documents or not or whatever. And the reason is not sort of any particulars and details, don't care. What the reason is so that people here get the same camaraderie with you that, yes, they experience the same thing here. And how is it that, you know, land of the free, home of the brave, America, court is the same as whatever the heck's going on in the old country or what we fled. We just brought it with us, you know? So just kind of talking some similarities there, and we'll get into some cultural stuff too, and it'll be fun. So I'll be back just a couple minutes. I'm sorry?
I have a few pointers here on the Brexit. I'll just bring them up maybe first.
Yeah, whatever you want to do, man.
Just want to finish that train of thought. I'll just ramble through it, I'm sure.
Okay, all right, we'll do that when we get back. I got to get to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
My life. Okay. It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Oh, the man, he's coming around. Oh, he's been around. A lot of us have experienced it, and I'll tell you, you know, Barry Kerwin from Ireland, he's probably experienced it. But he wants to share with us, you know, he made some notes on Brexit and make sure we get a beat on what's going on there. All right, go ahead and finish up on that, and so we have an understand, and Barry, go ahead.
Yeah, just, I suppose, finish our train of thought from before. Like Brexit, it's really, I suppose, the UK people voted 52% to 48%, so it was a narrow victory. Back in 2016, like it's nearly 3 years ago, they were supposed to get on with this, and it's been delayed and put off, and I suppose debating all the time. Like, it's covered in the papers and the press and the media here constantly. The people are kind of sick of it in Ireland anyway, for sure. I'm sure the people in the UK are the same. But who makes the money from it all? Like the legal profession certainly did, and all the advisors to all these politicians and Brussels probably had to appoint loads of new people and spend loads of money on it. But it doesn't really benefit any of the people, any of these distractions, I suppose, from daily life. But someone is definitely making money for it. And a lot of these things, you'd have to wonder, if this is all the media coverage, what's happening, we'll say, outside us? What are they not telling us, I suppose? Because Mark Twain said, if you don't buy the newspaper, you are not informed. If you did buy it, you're misinformed.
Yeah.
So I think it was him who said it anyway. Someone not brighter than me.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But just to go back to, like, the Irish border, where it came from, was obviously in 1921 or so, or early 20s, the divide line was put in when the treaty was made between, I suppose, the Republic then and the UK government, or the King, I suppose. And that's where the dividing line was. That was the agreement at the time. And that led to, I suppose, more problems than later, dividing a people on a small island. You had the Troubles then in the 1970s. And that's when, I suppose, the real hard border went in with military checkpoints. Actually, there's a movie just, I see, released on Netflix. It's called the Miami Showband Massacre. And that was an Irish band that was...
I watched that.
Oh, you've seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a couple of days ago. I mean, like this last weekend, because I knew you were coming on, I go, yeah, this might tell me something. It's a band that were like the Irish Beatles. They were very popular. They were a show band. So you had like a trumpeter and a saxophone player and a lead singer and all that kind of stuff. And because of these troubles, they represented, you know, they didn't represent anything north, south. They didn't care. But for whatever reason, I think it was the South, blew up their van and killed some of the band members, and it became a thing. And they wanted to know why. Well, it wasn't them. It was done by the some British officers of the North or something. That was what was behind it to try and spark something. How far off am I?
Yeah, look, I suppose unless you were really there with firsthand knowledge, you never know what actually really happened. I suppose the dramatization of it in the movie is for the movie goers' benefit.
The thing was is that it was, they got caught up, they weren't part of anything and didn't really understand what was, and they were made part of it by blowing up a band, and then who actually did it, and this guy had a British accent, was part of, and ouch quit it. So I'm wondering what the real power, the argument is, that people in the South feel that, or up to that time, felt that they were oppressed in some way by the crown, or they wanted to unify North with the South? I mean, what was the goal?
Well, I suppose most of the southern part of the country would have been, you had the dividing line, I suppose, of the religious point of view where most of Ireland would have been Catholic. And they were seriously, or still are, I suppose, up north, repressed by the kings over the centuries beforehand.
That's so the Catholics that live in the north were the ones that were getting the short end more than anybody else.
Well, I suppose at this point in time, it's not as bad as it used to be, but I suppose definitely in the 70s, they would have been seriously discriminated upon, let's say, getting a job or anything like that. Depending where your address was, you couldn't apply for a civil service job. You just wouldn't get it.
So like here in America where it says Irish need not apply, it was in Ireland, it was the Irish from the South need not apply.
Well, in the 70s in London, my parents were in London for a while, and a lot of the ads for the, let's say, apartments or whatever, it had in this order: no blacks, no dogs, no Irish. So you were very bottom of the list.
Damn. All right. So this is not as much, this is not an issue anymore, as these troubles kind of been, generations of that's not important, religion, that's not a big deal.
In the 90s, I suppose they had the peace agreement, and it's reduced a lot, and there hasn't really been much since, not to that degree anyway. But if they put back in another hard border, sure, isn't that a great opportunity for paramilitaries of whatever sides?
It's always at the checkpoints. It's always the checkpoints.
Yes.
Okay, so when you're looking at, the hard border, way it is now, am I going through anything? Is it like a toll booth and they're charging me something or whatever? I'm driving north.
No, you just drive.
So it's just an open road.
You wouldn't even know you were changing unless there was a sign there to say.
So this is the threat. They're going that if the I guess European Union lets Brexit, which is Britain, but it's United Kingdom, which includes, Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland and so on. So they leave. Well, the threat is we're going to have a wall, build the wall, and, between Northern and Southern Ireland. And what are you going to do about different foodstuffs that don't have the same permits of the European Union to trade it? So they're threatening you guys with all kinds of stuff that's going to happen if they do this, and they keep dragging this out. I thought that when they voted Brexit, okay, you Brexited. We declare our independence, and we're done, and we're over here. What has happened? What are we waiting on? What's going on?
Wouldn't you think that's the way it is? Like, we want to leave your little club. Like, that's all it is, a little club. Like, you join your tennis club or your sports club, and you don't want to pay the membership anymore. So we're going to go play over here somewhere else.
Yeah, the Confederacy thought that too. Okay,
like,
so
America, for example, right? You have trade deals with every country on the planet, probably. Now, there's no reason why the UK can't just agree a separate agreement with each country or a block of countries or whatever they want. And what's the big fuss about? Brexit away. Who cares? If you want to impose tariffs or taxes or whatever at the borders between different countries at different rates, well, sure, you man the borders then and do that. But why waste your time and money? Who benefits?
Those that rule from Brussels, if we get the, because we can't. They got a shiny badge right here, it says so.
Of those people making those decisions are not elected by, we'll say, the peoples of different countries. They're internally elected. So, like, the Brussels is, I suppose, an enigma to itself. I don't think anyone even understands how it works.
No, they just built a big giant city on the kind of the European Union paid for, and we got big buildings, so I guess we rule you.
We'll send the money out there and see what happens.
In Britain, the Brexit, from your perspective, what are they waiting? How come they haven't just gone, and we're done? What are they waiting on? What's all this voting stuff is about? What do they want another vote? What are they, they're not just taking their football and going home. I don't understand. That's why one of the things I want to talk to you about, and you go, well, I don't understand either, and I'm going, hey, man, well, you probably understand more. When we come back, we're going to find out, what the hell? Does it matter? Where do the people get into this? And you have a country that speaks the same language, you got the same heritage on a freaking little island, and you got a line. How does that work out? Well, we're going to find out more from Barry when we come back.
There are basically two types of advertising.
Yeah, to me, it's just, that's a simple question. I'm going, what are they waiting on? What was the vote? What did the vote have a deadline or this date? I thought a deadline is come and gone. What?
They were supposed to leave today at 11 a.m. That was the deadline. And they were arguing in the UK Parliament, I believe, today about extending that deadline because they haven't agreed the trade treaty or whatever with Brussels.
Don't care. Next.
Yeah. So.
So they might leave today.
I don't see what all the fuss is about. If they want to leave, to just leave. And maybe Ireland should leave too. I don't know.
Okay. Is it, you know, so by the end of the day, they may, we're done? Or they have it? If they don't extend it, then what?
No one seems to know. They don't really know themselves. It's very much up in the air.
I say do it and see what happens. And we're done. Now, next.
Yeah.
The European Union is going down, man. Financially, they're trying to hold on to it, but we got to have a European Union army or some crap. And I'm going, yeah, that'll end well. You know, this is so, don't care. And how are you guys doing in just, you know, in your own business and life in Ireland? Because it's beautiful. My son and daughter-in-law went and spent a couple weeks in Ireland. They loved it. They got a bicycle. Man, they just went all over the place, kept moving around and visiting castles and stuff. And they just, big thing of how pretty it was. So
come on over.
I mean, don't laugh. It might be exactly what I do. We might be doing, you know, kind of here in next year or two, some European. I'm not really super duper give a crap about doing Europe, you know, but I would like to do Ireland, maybe Scotland, and then go to the Canary Islands and visit with some friends there, and maybe Rome. I've got some friends there, and Northern Africa.
Do it in the summertime. Do it in the summer.
Well, that's one thing. My question is, in the winter, you know, you almost never see Ireland in snow. It doesn't snow up there?
On the mountains this year, we had a very small bit. Last year, we actually, here in Wexford in the southeast, would be the warmest part of the country, or the gets the most sunshine anyway, which is not much sunshine. But we had about 2 feet of snow, which is kind of a once in 50 year event.
Why is it that it doesn't snow? It's so far northern latitude. Is it just a Gulf Stream brings up warm water?
Stream, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. The Gulf Stream coming up keeps all the ports ice-free up as far as Scandinavia.
Which also is, you know, what gives you a bunch of fog, I imagine, too.
Yeah, we get plenty of damp, wet weather, especially out west.
Well, I'd love to do it. Don and I will make a, you know, put that on the list. We'll come visit you. That'd be awesome.
Do you know, for sure.
Yeah, you met Donna before. Did you meet Donna, my wife? No, I guess not.
I don't think so. No.
No, she's been a few. She's going to be going this next year. We're going to be staying with a friend, you know, Joby Weeks there, so we can afford to go. It'll be fun. All right, when we come back. I'd like to get into all this is about what? It's about freedom, self-autonomy, it's being left alone. And I'm wondering, in the European Union, Southern Ireland, I'm wondering, you know, are they wanting to kind of break free themselves? Are they starting to get antsy about that? What's the attitude there? You know, the governments and the court system, all the stuff that you've gone through and taxes. I'm just trying to get a cultural equation with us. All right, here we go.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
You know, we've had, when I grew up in the 70s, when there was problems in the 80s, it was all about jobs, a lot of those, the problems in Ireland. You know, how's the economy in Ireland, Southern Ireland now? The Republic of Ireland. You know, how's the economy there, Barry? What's going on for you guys?
Well, in Dublin, I suppose it's going pretty good because that's where a lot of American multinationals are, likes of Intel and a lot of the pharmaceuticals, they're all in Dublin. The rest of the country is, I suppose, lagging very much behind. We have a huge homeless crisis, actually, in Ireland at the minute.
Really?
Which is a fallout from back in 2008 when there was the financial crash. The banks here are still evicting people and trying to get people jailed all the time for not giving up their homes and kicking them out into the street. This is on a daily basis now, especially American vulture funds who bought big tranches of loans from Irish banks for pennies on the dollar, pennies on the euro, and they're still looking for the full amount back. So you have people who basically, through no fault of their own, overpaid for the house prices, which were pumped up by all the, I suppose, cheap money that came in from the EU, from the central bank, would say, when we changed to the euro, created a big housing boom here. Our building of houses, like, I think it was up to 30% of the economy was involved in building houses and stuff.
So the banks knew it was going to happen. You get underwater, you foreclose, they get it, and then they, you know, resell it later and make more money and do it again.
Everybody exactly. Else? But even with businesses, they targeted them. There's been a couple of scandals about it, that they targeted businesses that had assets and basically tried to wouldn't renew their credit and things like that to drive them out of business and then seize all the assets. It's scandalous what they've been up to.
Well, this is, you know, with all of this is kind of, if you look back, and certainly now with the internet, you can store this data and you start doing some research and you find it's a mechanism. They do this on a regular basis. The central banking is always about, pumping it in and the boom and bust and who takes advantage and all financial plumbing goes back to Goldman Sachs or something, you know. So here we have in Ireland, what's the future? I mean, you're going to be – when are you going to get married?
I don't know yet. Don't know yet.
Hey man, get off my ass. She said yes. I got her a ring, man. I, you know, take this one step at a time.
I not buy you a few years with the ring, no?
Yeah, it took a while, but you know, it was awesome. I'm really glad that, you know, I really like her. You know, what we want to do is go ahead and get from you as you're going into the future thinking of having you're going to have children? Damn it, Ernie, you keep bringing up all these questions. You're going to commit me on tape. All right. Let's assume.
Ask me a simple question, Ernie. So ask me about Brexit or something.
Yeah, right. So you're there in Ireland. You plan on staying in Ireland? Is that your home? Do you think you're going to be moving somewhere, go warmer, or you're going to be there?
Oh, sure. Wouldn't you love to go for 6 months for the winter somewhere warm? Wouldn't that be an ideal lifestyle?
Yeah. Ours
here
is
for the summer.
Yeah, ours is going north. We'll be going there for the summer while it's 120 here. But we got mountains. So here we have, you're thinking that you'd at least summer in Ireland. You like Ireland in the summer? That's where you want to be?
Oh, yeah. I've traveled a lot of the world, and there's no place like Ireland in the summertime when the sun is shining. There is absolutely nowhere better. You've got great pubs, great entertainment, great food. And the majority very friendly people, and it's hard to find that combination anywhere else in the world. Now there's a few places you would have great fun as well, of course, but to have the combination of all of them, maybe because it's just because it's home, I love it, but.
Well, you know, the thing is that you're going to be spending a lot of your time there in the future. So then that leads me to my next question. What kind of futures that look like? You know, what is the government there, the parliaments, the politicians, the people, the businessmen, the multinational corp of we're going to come in and take you over, we're Chinese. I mean, you know, I'm wondering what the future looks like. You know, what do you think?
Well, the banks already own the country, so that's done and dusted. That's proven on a daily basis, like in the courts. So what's the future? Who knows? I mean, we're going to have another probably worldwide crash. Seems to be on the cards, according to a lot smarter people than me. Something that I found very fascinating there recently was Catherine Austin Fitz's research on the U.S. State's books have gone dark. I wasn't aware of it, but she seems to have proved that it's now a national security issue, that every document, would say the accounts of the United States of America now, is false, is essentially what they're saying. So if that's the case, then that's the major economy on the planet. So the stock market there can't be correct, which means follows on that everything else on the planet now have cooked books. Interest rates around the world are all kind of pegged and hedged against the
So that brings up this question. If it's all going to crap and it's going to be, and then it's going to be people taking care of themselves and keep breathing in and out and surviving where they're at, what's the mindset in Ireland? Are there a bunch of preppers that got their bunkers, they're stocking ammunition that they've had since the, you know, the 1920s? I mean, you know,
No, there's not. People are blissfully unaware. I mean, most people are too busy with the bread and circuses, sports and TV. And I suppose that we're not educated in the schooling system too, like, to look for the warning signs of economies falling, like, and they roll out these experts on the media all the time and tell you everything is great and you're in for a soft landing was the big thing about the housing market before it absolutely tanked. And it seems primed for that again. Like, if you open up the newspaper today, one of the main newspapers here would be the Irish Independent, and the property supplement is actually bigger than the paper. There's more pages of the property supplement in it than of news.
So property supplement, you mean classified houses, ads for sale?
Yeah, houses for sale and the like.
Wow, that it's bigger than the paper, even with the internet. That's scary, man.
Just about. And the last time that happened was back in 2008 before, obviously, the economy crashed as well.
I'm with you, brother. I've been screaming this from going, here it comes. And so my idea, you're saying that the people are just like, you got a big homeless problem still there. Their mindset is they're waiting on somebody to fix it for them or something.
Well, you see, you're from a very young age. You're taught never question authority, and the state will look after you. They're there to help you, which most people actually find out when they're in a bad situation. The state will do next to nothing to help you.
Well, what are you doing to protect your family coming up? I mean, it's going to be Daddy Barry. You know, what are you doing? You got a cliff house you dug into on the cliff somewhere or something?
No, just a regular, very, very small little house. We planted apple trees and we have our veg garden and things like that.
There you go.
If you go back, would say, to my grandparents' time in Ireland, most people fed themselves outside the cities anyway. Like, they grew most of their own food, had a few, some animals, chickens, goats, cows.
Yeah, I'm a big chicken fan. They are easy compared to anything else. I was like, if I'd known that, I'd done that a long time ago. So how far outside of the city are you? Are you in a rural area, or do you got a yard or what?
We're only 5 minutes. It's outside a small town, so it's reasonably rural. Yeah.
Yeah. Dublin, so you got
Dublin
some land.
Dublin is really the only main kind of big city.
How far is Dublin from you?
About 2 hours, about 100 miles.
Oh, you out in the hinterland? You in the rural area?
Yeah.
And so Narcopoco. I find that freaking amazing that we have, you know, a couple in Ireland in the rural south of getting learnified on how bad government is for whatever reason, and they wind up in Acapulco at an anarchy event. That's just, and then they come the next year, you know. So it's been awesome to spend time. We just kind of got to get a bead on what's happening over there and how much it isn't part of your life. You don't care, you know, and just want to be left alone in Southern Ireland. And then we'll start the clock and the tick down on your wedding day. Maybe we'll come for your wedding. So we'll start keep bugging you on that one. He's going, I don't know, this engagement ring needs another one. Go buy here. That'll start here soon. You know. But it's great to have you on. Hold on a second. I want to talk to you. Thanks for joining us today. Another great day on Declare Your Independence.
Free Talk Live.
All right, there. Done the live show, and now we can just yak it a little bit. So, what I, you know, at the end of this whole thing, you know, you find out that we're pretty much on the same page and got the same problems with the same people, and it's the banks. You know, so the people there, when they see this happens, and it's going to happen again, they're going to, you'll be, and you get evicted too. And when that happens, is there going to be any kind of a social upheaval, or people just get tiny homes and move out into the fields, or what, do they have the freedom to do that? Do you have like national forest, or every scrap of land is owned by somebody, or is there public land? Can anybody homestead and just create their own farm or something? What's the options?
Not really. Like, property is very expensive in Ireland in comparison to most places. Because of the banks pushed up the prices, essentially, with the interest rates. And
I mean, is there a national forest? Is there set aside wilderness spaces? Is there, you know, anywhere anybody can just go and put up a tent?
Not really. No, you would be moved on fairly quick.
So everything's private property, pretty much?
More or less, yeah, more or less.
Which is not necessarily bad.
Like most, maybe up on some of the mountains, you wouldn't be bothered, but it wouldn't be the best place to go live.
So what has happened throughout history in Ireland? There's been, you know, famines, there's been disease, there's been war, there's been, how do the Irish people survive? What do they do? Historically.
Well, farming, I suppose, fishing would have been a staple, like since the Vikings landed.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is with farming, I'm thinking, yeah, of course, you know, you're very productive. And there was a girl, she was an exchange student. She came by, no, she wanted to be an exchange student the following year. But what she had done the first year, she got a grant from university in Finland for her to come and do a documentary on preppers, you know, here, and survivalist and prepper, that kind of thing in America. What the heck? Because Finland didn't understand what was going on, because they go, all these people, they're prepping for it. And they go, yeah, we call that winter. What the hell are you guys talking about? You know, of course we prep and we have all this stuff to see us through, man. Who the hell are these people? And as she went through, she realized it was just, you know, people getting ready for, they thought there was going to be financial problems of whatever. So, and of course, everybody wanted to show her their guns. But the she was impressed with that. And I'm wondering, in Ireland, is there just a culture of, yeah, of course you have so much food available. Of course you have, you know, a place to go. Of course you got a bunker of whatever.
Not anymore.
No?
Not anymore. Maybe 30, well, I suppose 50 years ago, my grandparents' generation, they would certainly all have stocks of food for the winter and the likes, and would have had animals around. But most people here live on the supermarket, and their food supply is 3 days. Like, we had snow, just for an example, the snow we had last year was about 2 feet. Within a day or two, there was no bread or milk to be found in the country. Now, I'm not joking, anywhere in the country. Now, the snow melted after 4 or 5 days or whatever, and the trucks could get on the main roads again to make deliveries to the supermarket. But the people were absolutely, you know, caught. No food. So a lot of places had no electricity, so they hadn't, their electric cooker didn't work, their electric heating didn't work. You know, they were really caught on the hop. You know, their wells stopped working because their pump was electric, wouldn't pump the water. So their toilets wouldn't work. You know, they're really unprepared.
Society collapsed because you got a little snow in Ireland.
For those number of days. And the upside of it, I suppose, was that actual communities kind of came together and helped one another out. That's the other side of it that you don't see as much anymore either.
Well, how do you view the government there? There are a lot of people on some kind of entitlement or assistance, or they get a check from the man for something?
Yeah, not like the unemployment rate has dropped. I think it was up around 10% to about 5%. But the way they measure it is slightly changed too.
You
got a part-time job, there's only a couple of hours, you're considered employed again. Which, you know, you mightn't be earning enough to feed yourself.
No, it's the same thing here. They, you know, just make it up as they go. So the general feeling when the hard times hit again, you know, with the financial system and so on? Are the people prepared for that, or do you just think?
No, in no way. They trust the banks. They believe them. They trust their politicians are going to save them. You know, it's the usual propaganda. Most people don't think about it.
Well, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, is it going to be blood in the streets or dead people frozen on the side of the road? I mean, you know, people like do stuff. They get desperate. They get hungry. They do stuff. What might they do? Plant?
Well,
I mean, what?
It could become dangerous then, yes, for sure, especially in the cities where there isn't any food. I don't know. I wouldn't like to be living in a city if something like that happens. Like, you take, I don't know whether you're aware of what happened in Cyprus a couple of years ago. When
they seized the bank accounts and stuff?
Yeah, the EU just basically... They froze all bank accounts, so you could only get €60 or about $70 out of the cash machine a day. So people's payments weren't working, and obviously you couldn't buy or sell much because you could only get out a certain amount. So it didn't matter whether you had millions in the bank or not, you weren't getting it.
Crypto. Is that a thing in Ireland? Is people learning about cryptocurrencies?
Nah, people are not... wouldn't be up to speed at all. The only thing they know about cryptocurrencies, it's only for drug dealers and the likes, you know. Bitcoin, they see an article in the main papers and they believe that it's only a fad or it's going to fail or the usual hidden pieces.
Yeah, no, I'm hip.
They said the same things about emails. Sure, only drug dealers use emails.
Right. Well, you know, how big a city you got to go to before you start having like crypto meetups or something like that?
You'd probably have to go to Dublin or Cork, Galway. There wouldn't be very many people around, you know, aware of what cryptos actually are.
You know, in New Hampshire, I was just talking to Jay Noon, one of the activists there, and he does...
That's a big place for it, yeah.
Well, he does snow plowing, and he works on big diesel engines. He does a lot of stuff. But for like his snow plowing business, he goes, all right, this is how it works. It's $50 if you pay me in cryptocurrency. You give me, you know, Bitcoin or Dash or Bitcoin Cash or something like that, it's $50. If you're going to pay me in a cash, you know, even use money, you know, actual cash, It's $75. If you do a credit card, it's $100. And he has clients that pay him three different rates. He goes, you want the $50? Go get crypto. Not my problem. That's my deal. So some do, and they, you know, but some, they want the convenience of a check, or they got a business they want to write on their credit card, or they want to, you know, whatever. He goes, fine, I don't care. And it's called Cash App or something that he uses, and he's allowed to, you know, links to his bank account. He does all three, big discount for crypto. That'd be something you could do. They say, yep.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Cash App, is it?
Yeah, I think it's called Cash App, and it was a mechanism by which he could link his bank account. He could take... credit cards, but it also allows you in the wallet to convert things to crypto. I think he does crypto. So I don't know, whatever. It's called Cash App.
I'll check it out. That's interesting.
We're working on doing that on, you know, the design over the next month. We have a lot of different changes through April on the sites and so on. And that's one of the things that we're looking into. Let me do this. Look it up. Cash App. Cash App, send money instantly. Yeah, it's cash.app. cash.app. Cash App. And what it is, it's Friday. You wake up to a $15 Cash App. No, okay, blah, 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 blah. Sign
check
in.
It out.
Yeah, no, this is, you know, so that he could do exactly that. It was, you know, I'm pretty sure this is it. But yeah, it's Square. Yeah, that's it. You know, because Square is, it's something, you know, it's done by the guy that owns Twitter. So it's in the system, you know. But it does provide this week these opportunities, but God knows what's going to happen. But so I would think that, like you say, what happened to Cyprus, Greece, you know, here, Venezuela, what's going to happen everywhere, just to have the knowledge and the mechanism to use cryptocurrency so that you can even do any business. And, you know, have this, you know, hey, you want to get a discount, go do this, and we'll get outside the bank. Because you're right, the bank's just going to be, they always got a bank holiday. And it's like, oh, and we'll give you your purple money when you come in, and it's, yeah, it's going to be 1-to-1 or 3-to-1 or 1-to-3 or whatever. They're messing with you. And then, of course,
now, what they'll do is anyone that does come in with money, they'll have to produce receipts to where they got the money from. They'll seize it. And then when whatever receipts they have, they'll give them the money for it, the swap.
No, that's don't laugh. Really, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be crap, like all kinds of cash controls. And it's been happening around the world. And you see it in like China. You see it here. You saw it in Cyprus. You saw it in Greece. You saw it. You know, so I'm going, all right. So this might be, you know, a thing to do. And that's one thing that we're, you know, I was preaching IPFS and everything when I was in Anarchapoca. We just finished putting up James Corbett, the Corbett Report. All of his videos and everything is on IPFS, cached there forever and always, and access, and the man can suck it. We're done. Boom, boom, boom. So now we're going, we already done ourselves and Pirates, and we semi-finished with James Corbett. Now we're just tweaking it a little bit, and then we'll go on to Tragedy and Hope, Richard Grove and Luke Radowski and Larkin Rose and all these guys. And very as good. I'm sorry?
Very good, yeah.
Yeah, no, this is, you know, we need to have a node in Ireland. You know, you got to get an old laptop, and we'll load it up for you, and you just plug it in, done. You're on the grid. You can do what you want.
No problem.
You know, that's what we're working on. I'm going to be making a big deal out of it here in the next month and do some fundraising and whatever and free the internet. Because, you know, the guy that was on before you is a scientist that does all the evaluations of vaccines and all this kind of stuff. And when they had a lot of the censorship is happening. Well, when President Trump was doing his Twitter thing and trying to ban some people that go on there and troll him, they sued and said, no, it's a public forum and you can't, and you're not. And okay, so they're going to use that. Hey, you know, you said Twitter and the president was on. He doesn't get First Amendment rights to, you know, disassociate with whoever it was. So now you got to keep us on and do the. So this is all this stuff is coming to a head. And I told them the same thing. I'm going, look, man, I don't want to be in charge. I have a government permission slip of they got to do it. I just want to bypass them. I just want to start my own thing and not be prevented from having my own communication channels. That's where they're going to try and get you. No, you're not allowed. You need to have a government permission slip like the United Kingdom does on watching television. They go, do you got your, you know, your permit to watch TV? Which a lot of people here in America, they don't know that. Yeah, how is that in Ireland?
We have it here as well.
Really?
You have to have a TV license in Ireland to watch the propaganda from the States.
A license to, and you know, wow. See, some of these things are just craziness to Americans this week. It's like you say, you go a generation or two, and all of a sudden everybody's a freaking, you know, serf.
Well, here's one for you. In Ireland, there's no cars made here anymore. Ford used to have a factory here, donkeys years ago. But for a car to be imported, you have to pay vehicle registration tax, is what they call it. Now, it's about, it could add maybe 20% to the price of the car.
Yeah.
So say if I wanted to bring a Mustang from America into Ireland, I'd have to pay a 20% tax, say, on it. Damn. Just to register to get the license plate. Now, the EU courts have ruled that that's completely out of order and wrong, and the government cannot do it. And that was maybe 7 or 8 years ago. We're still paying the VRT today. So the EU law applies when they want it to, and it doesn't apply to when they don't want it.
Yeah, hypocrisy.
But that's governments for you.
Well, no, you were in, you know, the same understanding. I'm just wondering how many other Irish people are of this level, you know, the, you know, freedom's the answer, what's the question kind of thing, you know, the non-aggression principle, libertarian, voluntarist, leave me aloneism, you know, is that prominent anywhere?
Not so much. There would be a small group. See, most people do not, they're so programmed, like, same as I was when I, from a very young age. You never ask questions. The expert always knows. Never question the teacher. Never question the politician. You know, they know what's best for you. And until they actually get the real kick in the teeth and have to ask the question that this is not working the way it's supposed to be working at all. This is not what I believed was true. Because you're challenging their core belief, essentially. And most people will reject any sort of challenge to their core belief because it rocks their whole world. Like their reality falls apart when they have to question their own beliefs about the world around them. So they obviously the bread and circuses is a perfect distraction.
Yeah, what's your biggest bread and circus? Is it soccer? Sports.
Well. No, probably Gaelic football and hurling would be the two national sports. Then you'd have soccer and rugby as well.
All right, Gaelic football. What the heck are you talking about? Like rugby or something?
You use a round soccer ball. It's slightly heavier and harder. But you have 15 men on each team. And you have a soccer goal with a goalkeeper and rugby posts, like American football posts above it. So you get 1 point if you kick the ball over the bar between the posts, and you get 3 points if you score a goal in the soccer goal underneath it.
But and
you can catch the ball with your hands. It's a very physical game. You'll have to go on Netflix and have a look.
Or Gaelic Netflix, football.
Yeah, Gaelic football.
Yeah, freaking Irish got their own different thing for everything. You know?
Oh, should we invented baseball too, remember?
Of course you did.
We call it rounders.
Oh. You know, when they had
game.
Yeah, they give credit to Doubleday or whatever here in America to do it, but I remember them talking about rounders, you know, as being kind of a offshoot or take, and I'm going, okay, so that's what they're talking about. It was an Irish thing. Was it Irish that, you know, it had rounders?
Well, it's still played here anyway. Yeah, I don't believe it's played anywhere else in the world. Well, nowhere else plays hurling either, unless they're Irish descendants.
Hurling?
In Argentina, they have a good few hurling teams as well.
What's a hurling?
It's like full contact golf.
Right. Okay. So it's like lacrosse, you know, polo without a horse? I mean, what are you talking about?
Kind of like, yeah, you could. It's hard to describe it. It's like ice hockey without the ice, and you're allowed to catch the ball in your hand. It's a round ball, about three times the size of a golf ball, but it'd be a bit softer. Wouldn't be quite as hard as a golf ball. So there's another one for YouTube for you.
Yeah, okay. I'll take a look just for curiosity's sake. You know,
it's a very fast game. It's the fastest field sport in the world. It's physical, like it's full contact as well.
The fastest what sport?
Field sport.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you have 15 on each team as well. The same big posts and a goal underneath it.
But I bet they're big Irish men. They're not wearing American football pads.
Oh, there's no such thing as pads in Irish sport.
Do they have helmets?
Some of them do. You didn't up to
Whips!
Recently. Yeah, recently you have to wear the helmet because obviously you can get hit in the face very easily.
Wow. Hey, Barry, thanks for spending the extra time with me. I'm glad you came on. See, it wasn't that bad.
No, it was good fun.
Yeah, no, I'd really like to, you know, call on you when there's news and stuff or whenever you got something going. We don't have to wait till freaking Acapulco, you know, but you think you might go again this next year?
Funds next year are probably not going to be there for us, but we'll see. We live in hope.
Well, I'd really like you to meet my wife. You haven't met her, and, you know, I'm sure she'd enjoy you guys. Well, go ahead and, you know, say hey to everybody for me, and plan on, you got something to say or something in the news comes up, we'll be contacting you, get your butt back on and help explain it to us. Because today is the day of Brexit. And we didn't even hardly talk about today is the day. I mean, what are they? So was today the day of we're done, or they're not, or I go and check on TV and they're going to what? I mean, it's already, you know, what time is it there? You're like late afternoon, so the day's almost over, right?
Yeah, it's just 4:20. Yeah, they're probably still discussing it. They were supposed, today was the day they were supposed to leave, but I presume they're going to extend it, or I don't know. They'll come up with some nonsense. They always do.
Yeah, they've come up with some nonsense, man. That's the best way of putting it. All right, let me do the news here, see what's up. Back to square one. Let's see. All right, today in Brexit, a day of drama leaves us no further ahead. For a moment last night, it looked like Theresa May might just pull it off. The Prime Minister played her best. Let me turn this video off. The Prime Minister played her best in one of her last cards, offering the Brexiteers her job in return for their votes for her deal. Then her so-called allies in the Democratic Unionist Party played theirs, and it was a Trump. The Northern Irish Party refused to back her plan. All right. So they have. So the Northern Ireland has representatives in Parliament in the United Kingdom in London, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so they didn't decide anything then.
Well, I guess, well, it's because Northern Ireland wouldn't play. That was what all this fear and uncertainty and hard border crap is about. May's wasn't the only failure in another frantic day in Westminster. So her plan for, so I guess she had her own plan that nobody wanted to support because it was probably some watered down piece of crap socialist version of whatever. Parliament also failed to find a majority for any kind of Brexit. Still, legislators came close. A proposal to stay in the European Union's customs regime, the lowest common denominator of soft Brexits, got within 8 votes of victory. When Parliament comes back on Monday for a second round of voting on Brexit options, a customs union looks to set on top of the short list. See, this is all, you know, they Brexited. You know, people voted saying, and we're done. So now they're voting on how they're done. I mean, I don't understand what Parliament, we were in it and now we're not in it. The people said we're not in it. So you take that piece of paper, you take a Bic lighter to it and you're done. I don't understand what they're arguing about.
Me neither.
I mean, that's what it was supposed to be, right? It was just, I break with thee, I break with thee, I break with thee, and you throw dog poop on your shoes and you're done, right? I mean,
yeah, well,
something.
I suppose there's a lot of them don't want to break. It's impossible to know what they're at.
It's just a game. It's so they just go and go and obfuscate and delay and delay and delay until you just get tired of it. And I'm in cyberspace and, you know, and you can't find me anymore. Next. But you got to have some place to live, and you're homeless in Ireland from the last financial crisis, and you're going, where the hell am I going to go? What am I going to do? Where am I going to be? And where can you? There's no new world now. It's all government. The crown is everywhere. That's why you got to have a pirate ship. Need a pirate ship. Got to have a pirate ship.
We better go build one.
Hey, man, I'm building mine. What are you doing?
Good. Come visit anyway.
Yeah, I think if we make it across the pond, that is definitely going to happen, Barry. I really appreciate it. I always enjoy your company. And I apologize, your fiance's name. I don't want to say Shen.
She's here. She says hello.
Hey.
Hi. Well, tell me her name. It's Shen.
Emma.
Emma, I'm so sorry. I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, I'm going, God, man, I know her name, and I can't remember. Emma, it's so awesome to say hello to you. I was hoping I'd get to say hi, you know, and hopefully you'll get to meet part of my family and wife. And if you ever come to America, hey, man, Southwest doesn't suck. Have you seen a Western movie? Don't you want to come see?
Surely do.
Now get your butt down here. We got a room. You know, we'll make it, give you a vacay. You can stay here a couple weeks, man. It'd be peace out. You know, we got all kinds of stuff to do. Even in the summer, you can go up in the mountains and, you know, and chill. Well, it was great talking to you, Barry. I think we had a good time. Emma, how'd you think it went? Was it as much stress as, you know, he thought it would be?
No, he did great.
Yeah, no, it's
very
fun.
Impressive.
Yeah, no, we learned something. That was the big thing as I wanted was the kind of the cultural thing of what's going on. And you kind of tell me, yep, we're up against the banks. The people there aren't any readier than anywhere else. And I don't know where they're going to go to live and be done and get a tiny house of on the coast of Leave Me Alone. And here comes a man with a clipboard and tell them. And then all of a sudden you got revolutions and stuff. I mean, I have no idea where this is going. But you're like you're saying, in the big cities, a lot of problems. And in Europe, there's a lot of cities. So there's a lot of problems, and we see what's going on in Paris, and it's just, is that on the news a lot, what's happening in Paris?
Completely blacklisted. It's never mentioned anywhere.
No way!
Yeah.
Even on social medias and so on?
Yeah, well, no, it's a certain amount of it would be on the social media, but it's never mentioned in the mainstream at all, really.
Well, there's been kind of this yellow jacket something going to London. Is that taken off at all? They even mentioned that?
Yeah, there was some here as well in Ireland. But not the French. You have to admire them. They don't take any shit.
Well, they're you know, it's of interest. I mean, there's a lot of alternative media covering it. And, of course, like you say, you know, they're just blacklisting and everything. Yeah, I don't see this working. You know, not this time. You know, a lot of times, you know, they always are suppressed, and eventually the books will come out, or, you know, the movies will be done, or, oh, that was so back then. Yeah, we said we didn't do it, but we really did. But that was a bad guy, and we arrested this one politician or some crap. And then, of course, they're doing the same thing all over again. But with the immediacy of the internet and options to kind of get outside their control grid, I don't know what's going to happen. I think, you know, it's always been like the Depression here in the United States and the Civil Wars and all this other stuff. Is once you find out what really happened, it changes the way you look at this stuff. And I think with the internet and what we've learned and we're starting to find out, we all have the same enemy. You know, it's the same thing. It's freaking, you know, the banking system. You know, it's the court system. It's the system is there to screw us, and we're supposed to support it. And then there's something wrong with you. You got brain damage if you don't support it, and your Chinese social, you know, credit score goes down. We had a girl from China yesterday, I think it was, she was here, and we were talking about that very thing. You know, her boyfriend lives here, and he's the one doing Narcozona, you know, this Saturday in Sedona is having, you know, he was right down at a Narcopoco. So we're doing that. Well, his girlfriend, he taught English to Chinese in China, and he met her, and his girlfriend, you know, is here from China telling us all about the social scoring and so on. Is something like that you think would make it to Ireland?
Oh, I'm sure the controllers would love something like that.
If they don't already have it, yeah.
Yeah, would the people tolerate it? I don't know. Like, a lot of people can't go anywhere without their mobile phone anymore. And we didn't have mobile phones 20 years ago.
Well, you know, there was this one, it's called Lexium. I was doing a show, and they're have Freedom phones. You know, it's, God, where was it? It was called Pixel, God dang it. Librem 5 smartphone. Let me see if I can pull this up. Because it's getting to where, you know, there are going to be Linux phones that aren't hacked, you know, that are coming. Yeah, Librem 5. Okay, where did this come from? It's called...
Yeah, it looks like the market is starting to supply all these different things. You know, there's a need there for privacy in every aspect.
Okay, here it is. It's Purism, so it's PURI.SM. Purism, you know, with the, you know, Purism, but it's PURI.SM, and you'll see there's laptops and phones that are coming that are open source hardware and software that's going to bypass the control grid on a lot of this, you know, hacking and surveilling and so on your phone. Because I like my smartphone, but man, I don't want to make it easy on them. Screw them, you know. So I got, you know, a Linux computer that from Think Penguin that comes with open source hardware and software on it, and I love it. It works really well, and it's not a pain in my butt. And I'm ready to buy another phone because I got a Galaxy 5 that's old, and they just want to start slowing it down and screw you and make you want to get another phone. And I'm not. I'm going, nope, I'm going to wait until I get me a Freedom phone, and they can suck it. Well, John McAfee promised me one. He was doing a Freedom phone that had the same features as this, as hard switches that you can actually make the disconnection and turn off your GPS and turn off your camera and turn off your microphone and turn off your speakers and turn off your Bluetooth, okay, turn off your Wi-Fi with the hard switch buttons. And I'm going, okay, that's cool. You know, so yeah, check that out. Purism.puri.sm. And it's coming. Okay. I mean, it's not here yet. The laptops are here, but the phone not yet. Might be another 6 months.
Very good. Yeah, there's all sorts. And I suppose the cryptos, that whole field gave me great hope. And that would have been a big attraction to go down to Mexico, was to see the whole crypto events.
Yeah, you and Emma, man, you were freaking students. You weren't like, lounging on the beach and burning that, Irish light skin, man. You're inside. You're like sitting there getting learnified and stuff.
Yeah, well, when it costs so much to travel that far, you got to make the best of it.
Yeah, and so you think you're all learned up? You don't need to go another year? Yeah, the next year would be chilling. On the beach.
The more you learn, the more you realize how little you know.
Yeah, I'm hip. Well, I'm glad you guys got you sucked all the knowledge out of the events for 2 years running, and I think you're a lot better prepared and you know more than you think. And it's just you come down to what they're doing in the legal and the parliament, blah, 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 blah. Just skip to the end. They're going to do what they're going to do. And how are we going to deal with it? I mean, it's all just BS, and I'm with you. Hey, thanks for spending time. It was great that you were there, Emma. I was hoping to say hi to you. It's been great having this conversation. Donna will be sending you an email that has the link to the video and the audio as soon as I got to get to editing and getting it up and the email start. Hey, man, where's the show? So, I get to that. But you'll get that by the time you wake up in the morning. It'll be there, and you can do what you want with it.
Lovely. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Take it easy. Bye.